Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. Alex Dunn here, joined as ever by Andy Holding. We're going to look ahead to the action at Fairy House on Sunday on this edition. There's also a card at Cork to look forward to, as well as domestic cards at Fosslass and Market Racing. But we're going to focus on the Fairy House card, and we'll start by saying good morning to Mr. Andy Holding. Good morning, Andy Holding.
Morning, Alex Dunn.
How are you?
Very well, very well, very well.
Good. Did you enjoy the Grand National?
I did, yeah. I did. I didn't have a strong opinion beforehand, and the only bet I had was the one that finished fourth, Alvarado, but I enjoyed the race. Yeah, it was a great spectacle.
Yeah, it was. I was saying last night it was probably, in my lifetime, I'm only a young one, only 21, that was one of the most enjoyable nationals to watch because there was a lot going on. You had a little bit of chaos at times, but obviously all horses returned safe and sound, which is great to hear. And you could have, I mean, watching it, turning for home, in the space of about 15 seconds, I think I called five different horses the winner and still didn't get the winner. So, but it was one of those races, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah. I actually thought the winner, Pina de Rey, was going to win from a long way out. Sort of Valentine's onwards, you saw your eyes were drawn to several that were travelling well, and he was one of them. Mm. And you knew. He was one of the few out of the ones that were going well that would see out the trip because he got an Ulster National under his belt over 3.6 miles. So he was one of the few out of those that were almost guaranteed to see it out, and that proved to be the case.
Mm, absolutely. And a great winner for Dr. Richard Newland, of course. So yeah, great stuff yesterday, but we're going to focus on Sunday's Irish action at Fairy House, and we'll start with the 2.10. It is a Grade 2 chase over 2 miles and 1 furlong, and we've got a very short price favourite here in Arvika Legionnaire, 2-5 at the time of recording, but looks pretty bomb-proof here, doesn't he?
He's probably got to be one of the biggest enigmas in the game, this horse. A horse as well that's won multiple Grade 1s. But he's got a quirk about him, and the quirk is going left-handed. And I don't care what Willie Mullins says. He said in the press before he feels as though that's not a problem. And 2 years running, he's taken him to Cheltenham confident of a big run. But on both of those two occasions, he's flopped badly in the Arkle, of course, 2013, and of course this year in the Champion Chase. He has one going left-handed, so that's probably at the back of his mind to suggest that maybe he's you know, he can run to his best. But for me, he's just a different class going right-handed. Some horses just have that tendency, and he's one of them. 8 out of 10, he's won going right-handed, mainly at Punchestown, but also here at Fairy House as well, two of his favourite tracks. And if he runs up anywhere near the level that he has been doing this season, going right-handed, his two victories at Punchestown, he should justify his short price of 2-5. Whether he's your kind of bet is very much up to debate. He's just a very good horse when his conditions are in his favour, as we know. 2 miles, flat track, soft or heavy ground. He's probably about the best horse there is around, particularly in Ireland. And even though he faces his two stable companions, Twin Light and Turban, who are useful, they, to all intents and purposes, are about, I would say, about a stone worse than him. Or he's a stone better. I'd rather have that phrase than the other way around. We've lost Cervelo because of the ground. And Full Dub and Kate's benefit, to be fair to them, they wouldn't be the class of Arvika Legionnaire. So it's really this horse is to lose. He's not my kind of horse to back at 2-5, but you know, he should get the day off for those that do see those kind of bets as good ones.
Okay, fair enough. Next up is the 240, a Grade B novice handicap chase, 2 miles and one furlong trip. Again, nice competitive action this here, Andy. Might be all for luck, has been well backed this morning. 9-2 market leader at the time of recording from 13-2. That one returns from a little break. But the fact that we're 9-2 the field is a mark of just how competitive this is.
It is, yeah. We've lost two, Burn and Turn and Orthic, as you say. But it's still competitive. And I quite like Arthur Moore's, well, say second string here. I think they'll both be running on their merits. He's got a stranglehold on this race, as Arthur Moore. He's got might be all for luck, as you mentioned. But he's also got Gentleman Duke and, more importantly, Treat Yourself. Now, Treat Yourself is the most consistent of that trio. He's run a series of really good races. His last four runs, he's been in the frame. And, of course, he popped up when he won at Leopardstown two starts back, beating Golden Ticket and one of today's horses that reopposed The Way We Were. I thought his last run at Garran was a really commendable one. Certainly on the figures anyway, that Garran Park race would represent one of the best two-mile chases I've had in recent months. They went a really good gallop that day, and Instant Impact and Follow Me Up to Carlo left Treat Yourself behind, but in no way shall perform did he run a bad race. He was just not quite good enough on the day. But because of the speed figure, it's so good, I'm pretty much sure that he's going to run his race and be there or thereabouts again. If he runs to that level, he's got to be in the first three. He's 5-1 with William Hill. I think that's a reasonable each-way bet in a race where there are ifs and buts about one or two of these on the ground, the likes of Nearest to Pin, for instance, and a few others down there. Kutamundra, for instance, he's a more of a three-miler, and Six Stone Ned's coming back off a layoff, and he wants better ground. So, yeah, in a race where you can obviously fancy more than just one or two, I'm going to stick with Treat Yourself on figures, on track and on ground. So he'll do for me each way.
Okay, Treat Yourself there in the second race. Next up is the 3:15. It's a Mare's Novices Hurdle. Grade 1 contest this over 2.5 miles. Nice race this. Adriana de Motthead's Affairs at the time of recording. Layla Joan pestering that one for favouritism. But barring the bottom two, maybe you couldn't rule many out here. They go without number 3, Gambling Girl.
No, that's right, yeah. Decent mare's race here. It's probably one of the weakest grade ones I've ever seen. And I can imagine it, each set of connections will be absolutely cock-a-hoop if their horse managed to pull it off, because they probably never ever get a better chance of putting grade one black type next to their name. Obviously, William Mullins has had a good throw at the board here with 3. Flourish Wells, Date, Utaker, and the one I fancy out of the trio, Adriana de Mott. Being a juvenile, obviously, there's a slight question mark whether she'll get the trip or not. But I do think she will, certainly given her run style. I think, this extra four funnels are playing to her strength. She got beat by Abyss Hill 2 starts ago, certainly no disrespect in that run. They pulled well clear of the rest. It was a good time, and prior to that, she'd handled the heavy ground really well and beating Hallin's Treasure, again, another quick time. Unfortunately, she got no further than the second in the Triumph Hurdle when Starboard Companion Abyssio brought her down, so that was a stroke of bad luck. But she gets a good chance to make amends here. I thought she might have gone to either Fairy House or Punchestown. Fairy House, of course, at the Easter meeting, all Punchestown for the Grade 1, but connections have obviously been very tempted by this pot. She receives the sex allowance weight for age, so that's obviously going to be handy. And she's ahead in the betting of Layla Jonah, for which there's been good money for this morning. I'd certainly respect Gordon Elliott's charge, because she's, of course, a distance winner, and we know that she does stay the trip on the ground, so I can see why punters are looking to get with her. But I'll stick with Adriana de Mott, and hopefully she can, get to that perfect grade one black type next to her name.
OK, next up is the 3:50. It's a novice's hurdle, grade 2 contest over 2.5 miles. Another favourite here for Willie Mullins and the Ritchie team. Renetti heads affairs at the time of recording. This is a really, really nice race though, Andy. A lot of horses that I'm keen on here. Which one do you like?
Yeah, my nap runs in this race. Unfortunately, Tom Segal in the Racing Post has rather put the fork in the price that I was hoping to take about Levant Danton. This horse was priced of 8-1 overnight. I wouldn't say I couldn't sleep, but I was certain that was the first thing I thought of this morning. When I can get that kind of price, I was hoping maybe for double figures about this horse, because I thought he might sneak in under the radar, but Mr. Segal's made sure that that's not going to be the case. He's got to find plenty really on form, and that's one of the reasons why he's probably chalked up at 8-1. But Mr. Segal has obviously come round to the same way of thinking that I have, that this horse has got plenty of potential, and it just might be his race, because Renetti hasn't proven himself over the trip. We've got Apache Stronghold, who's a very good horse in the making. All his best forms on decent ground, and he hasn't run since November. Lieutenant Colonel, of course, had a very hard race at the Cheltenham Festival. So there are one or two shadows hanging over one or two of the market leaders, where this horse comes in here with a bomb-proof profile for me. He's definitely going the right way. I think this horse has improved significantly as the season's gone on. He started off his campaign over hurdles this year when getting beat in a, well, ordinary kind of maiden, it seemed at the time, at this track. That was behind Wax's Dargle and Dane King. But the races worked out really well, and he made a bad mistake at the second last. He then went to Nace, and he got beat by two very good juveniles trying to give him a stone. But time may tell that, he faced the impossible task of beating Seabeat, who was trying to get in the Fred Winter, but unfortunately didn't make the gig because he missed the cut. He then went to Navan the other day, stepping up in trip, and wow, was he impressive. I backed the second horse in that race, and I never, ever felt for 1 minute as a Painted Lady had any kind of chance of beating Liz Dawes' charge. He powered through that race. He went through it like a really good horse. And comparing his time as well on that card next to the Grade 3 that was run half an hour earlier, he comes out really well. And the fact that he was geared down from two out suggested he could go a little bit quicker. And I think this is his race today. He's going back to Fairy House. He's up to the trip he likes. He'll love the ground. Of course, he's got that man, Geraghty, with all those good runs at Cheltenham Aintree under his belt as well. He'd be riding with utmost confidence. If there's one negative about him, it'll be his jumping. He can be a little bit scruffy over his hurdles, but he does get from one side to another in his own fashion. I really like this horse, and I think, like I say, this is his for the taking today. Each way, 9-2. Best bet of the day, Levant Danton.
Okay, Levant Danton, a strong fancy there in the 350. Next up, the 420, Grade 2 novice hurdle. 2 miles the trip for this one. And Wicklow Brave for Willie Mullins heads the market and was reasonably well fancied at Cheltenham. Couldn't quite get the job done there, but looks to have every chance again here.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, well, he was one of my strong fancies for Cheltenham, the Wicklow Brave. And being one of the founder members of the Wicklow Brave fan club, you'd be thinking I'm going to tip him up almost certainly here today. Now, I'm not going to put anyone off Wicklow Brave because I think he travelled like the best horse in that Supreme Novices. And as we've seen, the Supreme Novices has worked out really well. It suggests it was a very, very high-class race. The likes of Josses Hill, of course, have won. Thought Wild Blue Yonder ran with a great deal of credit. He was fifth, of course. And he ran well at Aintree, as I said, on Saturday. So it's just a very good race. And Wicklow Brave, going down to the last, you could think, well, is he going to win, isn't he? But he just didn't get up the hill, plain and simply. He now goes back to a track where seemingly it should suit. He won at Punchestown, which is a very similar track. He handles the ground. So he's just very, very hard to oppose, really. It's just his price. I mean, you know, he's 10 to 11, even money. It's just not kind of... having backed him last time, I just don't want to back him at a short price. So I'm just going to offer up something as an alternative. That's all I'll say. I do think Double Irish is the one that's overpriced here. I actually think there's two that's overpriced. I think City Slicker's one, because he's got a very good record right-handed. He just doesn't go left-handed, so you can forget all his form that is slightly disappointing. But if you strip it all away, City Slicker's got some really good form on a clockwise circumference. So he's a big price at 25-1. But I also think Double Irish at 16-1 shouldn't be overlooked here. Two starts ago at Leopardstown, he was wildly impressive when he beat Champagne James and Quick Big Vic. Now, Quick Big Vic is 6 points shorter in the bet, and I don't get that at all. He beat him by 20 lengths at Leopardstown. There was no fluke. The only reason he disappointed the last day was because he pulled too hard over a trip, which was an experiment, but it didn't work out. I don't know why they ran him over 3 miles. That was a real head-scratcher. But, of course, a two-mile horse running over 3 miles, pulled too hard, and in the end he was a spent force when he went at the last. But as time I tell, it wasn't a bad race anyway, because Don Polly won that race, and he went on to win at the festival. So dropping back down in trip, they should go a good gallop here. Now, I think Double Irish is massively overpriced, and I can't resist a few quid each way on him at 16-1.
OK, Double Irish there in the 420. 455 is next up. Race number 6 on the card is a handicap chase over 3 miles and 1 furlong. Another really, really competitive race here. Please talk heads affairs for AP McCoy and Noel Mead. That one would have to go close, you'd imagine, but it does look open, Andy.
It does, but he's the speed figure horse. That run last time out in that very good race at Navan, won by Mike Murphy, was an extremely fast time. And I've just got to go with it, really, even though he's got an iffy profile. Prior to that, he pulled up on his seasonal reappearance and indeed towards the back end of last season. So he can be a bit in and out, but if he runs anywhere near the level that he did in that race 3 or 4 weeks ago, then he should be there or thereabouts. McCoy's obviously been enticed to ride him as well, ahead of one or two others he could have ridden, including in great form. So Heat Pleats talks my number one choice. Looking down the list, just a quick mention on a couple I think will outrun their odds. Savino's another horse that has to be high on the shortlist. She always runs well in these kind of events and often saves her best form for Fairy House, and don't think there's any reason why she wouldn't go okay. And the other one is Swordfish as well, and he's another bit of a character, but I noticed that the normal visors and blinkers have been replaced by the hood for the first time. Now, we've seen that contraption work on loads of horses in the past with quirky profiles like Swordfish, so it wouldn't surprise me if that was to be the case for this individual, but has to be Please Talk if he can run anywhere near that level as he did last time.
Okay, the penultimate race on the card is a Hunter's Chase, 3 miles, 1 furlong for this contest. Starts at 5:25. A few old favourites running here, but likely to be favourite is James, and that's a horse that I'm pretty keen on here, Andy.
Yeah, I think a lot of punters were very keen on him the last day, weren't they? He got backed into odds on, and it looked as though that money was going to be justified. He travelled like the wrath of God through that race at Downwell. How he lost, I do not know. I think you can put it down to the fact that the other horse rallied probably stronger than the jockey on James expected. But it was a head-bobbing finish, and he did only get beat by the narrowest of margins. Now, he's up in trip today. Now, whether this will bring about further improvements or cause his stamina to cut out, who knows? But there's no denying that he's the best horse in this race. It's just whether he can be held on to, delivered at the right time. I'm sure there's a big race in James somewhere along the line. Whether it's today, like I say, that's down to yourself, really, whether you're to take a chance at a short price. The obvious danger looks to be Burren River, who has been involved in a few races that James has taken part in, most notably that day when he fell at Fairy House 2 starts ago, when he still had every chance when he fell at the last. Now, I think he's probably the each-way bet to nothing here. If he can get 4-1 for Burren River, I think he's just slightly more of a more reliable proposition. And at the prices, you've got the safety net of 3 places, where if you back James at a short price, you haven't got much scope. So I'm going to suggest Burren River. I think the race is between the two, by the way, but I do think Burren River at 4-1, if you can get that, is a decent each-way bet.
OK, the final race on the card is a flat race over 2 miles. Some nice bits and pieces of form come to the table in this one. Martello Tower, popular at the time of recording. Well, in fact, there's 3 of them at the head of affairs. Martello Tower, Time for a Pint, and Measure of My Dreams, all vying for favouritism. And they've all got pretty nice profiles, Andy.
I don't think that 2-1 will last very long about this Martello Tower, though. Courtesy of that eye-catching run first time out in a very good listed race down at Nace. He was given probably too much to do by Davy Russell. At the same time, he was probably given the instructions to give him to make sure he got every chance, and he certainly did that, but he probably over-egged it, Davy Russell did, because he finished very, very strongly. I think if he probably would have been put in the race a little bit sooner, then he may have taken a hand in the finish, albeit he got beat 5 lengths in the end. You know, he looked like getting beat further than that at halfway, but he came home to such an effect that you could have suggested he might have been a bit more competitive and he might have won on another day. He's got some really good bumper form, one of which is going right-handed at Punchestown on heavy ground. That was at the festival last year when he beat a good field. And with that run under his belt, there's no denying for me he's the best horse in this race and the one most likely to take home the final prize. So 2-1, Martello Tower looks a strong bet to round off the card.
OK, Martello Tower there in the closer. Great stuff, Andy. Thank you very much for your time. As ever, best of luck with those picks, and we'll catch up with you later in the week.
Thanks, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.